are you doing?
Looking for beavers.
Real beavers. Beaver.
Woo! All right. Let's
go. Oh, I feel like a Power Ranger.
Hey, you see that?
My dick's asleep.
Cannot go against each other right now. That is exactly what the beavers would want.
Boom. Boom.
Yep, that's right. Welcome back to Beaver Rodeo. The one and only rodeo starring me, your friendly neighborhood Puerto Rican, George, along with his hot, sexy wife.
I'm Jen.
Now everyone knows.
Now everyone knows. How do you come up with these dumb little songs?
Not dumb. Every time I do them, you have a smile on your face, so that means greatness.
Okay, fair.
B, I don't know. But for those of you just tuning in, this is episode one.
One.
And with that, we like to introduce who we are, what we're about, and what you're getting yourselves into for the next 10 hours.
What? 10 hours?
10 sounds like a good number. Maybe hour.
Yeah, I'm not sticking around for 10 hours. I wouldn't want to do that.
This isn't the Rogan podcast.
What is it going to be like, one of those YouTube videos that we talk about like nothing and we just loop it for 10 hours? It's just that, yeah. It's a 10 hour loop of that intro.
Yeah. I am heavily inspired by what Tom Segura and Christina P do over there. So yeah, it's just 10 hours of an intro. So this is thanks to you guys.
Just speed it up. Someone remix it. Throw some bass in there. Chaos.
But for those of you who don't know us, we are a husband and wife duo. As of this month, we'll be hitting on our 10-year anniversary, which is crazy.
It really is.
Because it feels like it's been longer. Everyone has that if you're in a relationship. It's like, it feels like it's been forever. Right? But it's usually in the context of like a bad forever. Like, yeah. Oh my God, I've been in this forever with you. And luckily, it's not like that.
Yeah. It's weird. For me, you know, coming on pros. Did I just create a new pros?
Coming on pros.
What are words? Coming across our 10-year, like, when you put it, like, when it's in double digits, it's like, that's a big number, you know? Even though, yes, it has felt longer, but when I hear 10 years, I'm like, damn, has it been that long at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah. But it makes you look back. It's like, how did this all start? Because for me, like, there are times where it feels like, it's always been this, right? It's always been me and you. There was nothing before this, right? But obviously there was. I had parents. I still have parents. It's like I had. They're still here. You know? But like, I lived with them.
Right.
You know, before I lived with you.
Yeah.
You know, you lived with your parents. But like, this is the only thing I feel I know now.
Yeah. There's a whole, what, 2 decades before we got together.
Yeah.
Before we met. Because how old am I now? Wait, how old was I?
This is a question I guess asked
every
day.
How old am I?
I think since the first year of knowing you, you've asked me like, how old am I? Girl? And it's like, girl, you in your 20s. How do you still not know how old you are?
No, but for how old am I?
Why got me questioning it? No, this is like a test.
It's not.
Don't fall into these tests, man.
Right? It's not a test. I legitimately.
Fuck. If your wife asks you how old she is, you always say 25.
But I know it's a lie.
It is a lie. I am 2 years older than you.
Uh-huh.
I am 36.
So you are 34. Okay. That means I met you when I was 24.
That's how I cheat, by the way. I'll always know how old I am. And always knowing that I'm 2 years older than you is just like, so I always have to like, I'm this, so you're this. And honestly, it sounds like I'm testing you, but yeah. I'm not. I'm just like, this, okay, that's how I know how old she is.
But I'm so bad at just remembering anything, and then just figuring out the math. It's like, okay, I know I was born in 86 and this is the year we're in now, but I suck at math and I can't do mental math, so I'm never going to be able to figure it out. So if you told me that I was already 40, I'd be like, all right. So it's not really a test. It's just legitimately me asking a question.
At the same time, though, like, you seem to know how old I am most of the time.
No.
You do, because like, there are times you're like, oh, yeah, you're this age. Or, like, I'll you know, I do that thing to myself where
you round
before
up.
My birthday gets to me. So, like, if it's October, November, I'm already saying I'm the age I'm going to be in December. You know, so my birthday's in December, and I'm just like, all right, I got to prepare myself. Because everyone knows you have your birthday, you kind of forget after your birthday. Like, oh, yeah, I just got another extra year to my age. I'm no longer that old number. I'm this new number. It's like New Year's happens, yeah. And you forget, you know? Yeah. So I trained myself, which is just it's a good, bad habit all the same time. Because for 2 months, I'm older than what I really am. But yeah, you generally kind of know how old I am, more than you know how old you are.
I guess.
Which is kind of funny to me.
But then I won't remember, like, the age gap between us. Yeah. So.
But that'd be funny, since you do remember that. If I tell you you're 40, then you'll think, like, I'm 42.
Yeah.
What would I do that to myself? Yeah, that you're like, damn, George is looking good for 42.
Right.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah. Keeping up that skincare.
But yeah, our origin story is not like your typical, I'd say. Like, nowadays, the typical is, oh, we met online, mm-hmm. you know, and so forth. The only typical thing about us is that we met at work.
Yeah.
That's it.
Truth.
Yeah, which that's still a decently popular thing. To truly meet the one you marry and you stay with, it's usually at work or a social outing. Mm-hmm. It's never at the bar or at the club, you know, despite whatever everyone else might think it was back in the day. You know? But we met at work, which was the odder thing about that is that we went to the same high school.
Yep.
2 years apart. So when I was a senior, you were a sophomore. We should have at least had 2 years together where we would have met or known each other.
Mm-hmm.
I knew your friends. You knew my friends. But yet we never met. We never saw each other. We never knew we existed in high school.
It's very true.
It took working at the same job at a supermarket for us to meet one another.
It was so weird because we're like, oh shit, you know so-and-so. You know this. What?
Yeah, it's like, that's my boy. That's my...
Oh my god, you went to this school? What? What year? What?
It's like, what, you were in a play? I was going to audition for a play.
Yeah. That's exactly how that conversation went down too.
That's something I always think is really funny. But we met at the supermarket. It was Market Basket in Massachusetts, which, you know, anywhere else in the world, no one knows what Market Basket is. But if you're in the New England area, Market Basket is the shit. That is your supermarket that you go to. There is no other supermarket. No Stop and Shop, no Safeways, no Vons. No, you don't even go to Walmart, all right? You go to this place. And that's where most people ended up working, too, because it was a job that, while working at retail sucks, this place did take care of its employees to the fullest. And that's where we met. And something just clicked, you know, for some reason.
We got along very well. Yeah.
And we kind of skipped past a lot of relationship marks that you should be hitting.
Like all of them.
So, like, yeah, like all of them. Like, like, become friends. Go on a date. Mm-hmm. Do all those things. Like, Jen just moved in with me.
Yeah, my parents, I was living with my parents at the time, and they were remodeling the house. And so it's my mom, my dad, my sister, and then myself. And we were going to stay with my sister's friend from her high school years and with also her mom and her friend. And that was just too many people in one small house. And I was just like, you know, George has a spare bedroom. It's very close to work. I'm just going to move in with him temporarily during this construction period. And then I just never moved out.
Yeah.
I was like, well, all my shit's here and no one likes moving anyway. So I just stayed.
To add to that funny thing, you said that he has a spare room.
We didn't.
I was living by myself. I had 3 spare rooms.
Yeah.
All right. It was one of those apartments where, like, there's a living room, dining room setup. Mm-hmm. And I just turned the dining room into my living room, and the living room became my bedroom.
Yeah.
So I had a grand master bedroom, which left 3 bedrooms just there. One was like I had like an actual bed in there for if anyone wanted to sleep over. One was my walk-in closet. And then the other one was just like all of my nerd junk was just tossed in there.
Yeah.
No organizing, no rhyme or reason. It was just like nerd junk. Because I was a bachelor. I was like, this is my first apartment. I didn't give 2 fucks in the world.
It was chaos.
It was utter chaos, yeah. In those other rooms, my living room
It made sense.
Actually set up so like for company. It was my living room and kitchen were generally clean. But it's just funny, I had spare rooms. There was a room with a bed where you could have stayed. But you stayed in my room. Yep. And it just stayed like that forever. Mm-hmm. Just that was it. And I think within what? Because that was 2007, springish, spring, summer.
Yeah.
You know, and I think by September, we're just like, oh, we should just like be a thing, huh? We
should, should like make it like official.
Yeah. Which is funny. It's like we were already like together doing stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, all right, like maybe like this, like we haven't said it yet, but it's like, yeah, like I love you. So you can just stay, right?
I'm like, do I want to move back in with my parents? No, not really. I love you too.
Yeah. Almost sounds unauthentic there.
Yeah. You know me. So much truth.
But yeah, so like that made it official, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And then by 2008 of February, Valentine's Day, I proposed to you.
Yep.
And then the part that took forever, we were engaged forever.
We were engaged for
2-3 years.
Yeah, yeah. And then that was interesting trying to plan out a wedding. And then we're like, you know, feeding people that I don't really talk to because my parents wanted to invite these people on this side of the family and then blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know, I don't want this. It's expensive. Like, paying for a wedding is like mortgaging a house. Like, it's insane. There's so many expectations, so we're like, fuck it. And we were so dead tired from, you know, working a retail supermarket job for
we're like 60, 70 hours a week.
Yeah, like breaking some labor laws here. And we got statute of limitations now. I think.
We're of age, doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
Once you're old, you can work as long as you want.
There's still laws against that sort of thing. But it's so long ago, hey, so whatever.
Okay, we got paid.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We got all that overtime. Yeah. But anyways, we ended up, we were more interested in just not working and wanting to take the vacation, the honeymoon. Yeah. So, you know.
Because, like, we were throwing a party for everyone else.
Yeah.
It wasn't about us anymore.
And you know how weddings are, like, wedding receptions. Like, you don't get to eat if you're the bride and the groom. You're a puppet. And every time people ding their plates and glasses, you have to kiss. Like, dance, monkey, you know?
So, yeah, we had both of our parents were just, like, tugging at us. Like,
oh, yeah.
Well, you had your parents, and then I had my dad. My mom didn't give a crap.
Yeah.
Her only concern was like, I hope you two are happy. I hope I can be there. Mm-hmm. But do what makes you guys good. You know, yeah. I honestly don't give a fuck what you guys do. Just be pleased with what you've done at the end.
Yeah.
You know, but everyone else was just like, oh, well, we got to have this. We got to do that. These people have to be there. Don't forget to do that. And then the places we were going to, mm-hmm. there was minimums. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we only know 50 people. It's like, oh, we need to have 75 people to come to this place. Or you need 100 people to come to this place.
It's like, I got to pull out a Craigslist ad to fill the rest of this minimum. It got to a point.
We were just looking like, all right, I don't even talk to this half of my family. I guess I'll call them up. Maybe we can invite these people from work that I don't even know. You know, it's like we were just putting people on a list just to meet a minimum that the place was asking of us.
So ridiculous.
And I was like, I don't want to be feeding and taking care of people that I don't even care about. Mm-hmm. Like, I love my friends and family, but it's like,
it ain't about you. It's my day.
Who's getting married? But that's when you had your genius moment.
Yeah.
And it was one of those many notches within our life where it's like, this is why I'm with you.
So I was looking at resorts because I was just mostly interested in the vacation. So I was looking at all-inclusive resorts in the Caribbean and wherever else. They have, like, wedding honeymoon packages. So that's what we ended up doing. We booked a flight to the Bahamas and went to stay at a Sandals resort. And we had the best vacation I've ever had in my life. The water is so amazing, so warm, and the people there are so friendly. Because it's, you know, the tourism industry is
their
life source, so they very much know, like, oh my god, these people are paying for my life. So they're very friendly, they're so hospitable, and you know, it's all inclusive, so you've already spent all your money. You don't have to tip anyone, you don't have to pay for anything, as long as you stay within those resort grounds. Like, there's obviously some extra things that you pay for, like for like spa services or like those more dangerous water sports or whatever, or if you want to tour off the resort.
Like, I think we went jet skiing one day and I was like $50.
Yeah. Which was,
but we didn't have to do that.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're just eating, and it's pretty much like being on a cruise, but like not as scary.
Yeah, nowhere near as scary.
Yeah, with, you know, less chance of E. coli or whatever. But yeah, it was we got married. It was a beautiful beach wedding. That was the other thing. We live in New England, so it's, you know.
Yeah, polar opposite of what we're used to.
Yeah, so it was dealing with New England weather. Like, it could, I don't want it to rain on my wedding day. Like, I hate when it rains in general, so.
Plus the fact that this was, it's a wedding resort, too. Yes. That's the thing.
It was
this
all adults. This resort is meant
for only couples, so you couldn't bring your kids there.
Yeah,
granted, nothing against kids, but when you're on a vacation for your wedding, you don't want to see kids at a pool crying it screaming. Up or screaming. Yeah. You just want people that are like-minded like you. And that's all it was. You just had other couples that are getting married, too.
Yeah.
Like, we befriended, like, we were only friends for that week.
Right. Yeah.
But there was this couple that we ended up hanging out with for, like, that whole week, because they got married the same day we did.
It's true.
You know? And it's just, like, it's this camaraderie with people.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, I know what you're going through. We're going through the same thing. Everyone's just happy. Because the honeymoon phase, which is exactly what that place is, is the best time of your life when you're in a couple. So to be surrounded by that mentality everywhere was just pure euphoric kind of feeling all day, every day. It was the best.
It really was.
Yeah. I worshipped the ground that Jen walked on.
And it cost less than what it would have cost a wedding. Any part of the wedding. Yeah. All we did was
cheaper than getting a wedding dress, all right?
Yeah. Well, my dress didn't cost that much. I got it on sale, but I digress.
Because you were already shopping smart. But most people, not so much. Most people are spending an arm and a leg for every piece. The cheapest part of a wedding in a regular wedding is the tux for the dude, because he's just renting it.
True.
But everything else is, I hope you can mortgage the rest of your life off.
Yeah, it's so expensive. Crazy.
But yeah. That's speed love. That's what we're about.
That's what, yeah. We cut right to the chase. We're like, you know, I don't need that bullshit game. Like, text you in the middle of the night, even though I still did. But, you know, get straight to the point.
It's funny you bring that up. I was thinking about the other day. The other day I was thinking about how much I've always hated the phone. I've always hated talking on the phone. I've always hated texting.
Yeah.
I still hate it. But that was a sign that I knew that I had to be with you. Because you're the first person. Well, not the first person. I gotta take that back. I have friends that I obviously talk to. And,
yeah.
You know. But as a girl that I was interested in, I was like surprised of how much I love being on the phone with you. I found myself actually texting on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, I would think of something, I was like, oh, I gotta send this to Jen. She's gonna love this. You know, I never had that thought with even my friends. I would just tell them when I met them later on that night. Yeah. You know, it's like, yo, I was thinking of you, bro. And this happened. And then, you know, but we would just stay up so late talking to each other. You'd be driving like, to or from New York.
Yeah.
And I'd just be in my bed.
And it was back
creating like playlists.
This is how you know it's like a good, you know, this is it too, because it was back in a time when there wasn't unlimited texting or phone data. Like, I only had like 100 text messages in like 300 minutes, and I broke my phone bill to talk to you.
Likewise,
that's worth every penny.
Yeah, I think the only thing I unlimited back then was my minutes, but like my texts were limited.
Yeah,
and so like
that's where they would get you.
No one else got texted within that time. No. All my texts are reserved for you, and that's it.
Same.
I'd be like, sorry, bro, I can't text you. I gotta call you. Just
ignore. It's like, don't text me.
Yeah.
That's us. That's how we got together.
But now, here's the interesting thing about us, I think.
What's that?
It's that 10 years in now, right? Married. 13 together since we've been together since 07.
Right.
Never have had an argument.
It's true.
Our first few years, people are like, give it some time. It's going to happen.
Especially since we've worked together. 5 years in.
Yeah, like, we've worked together since 2007.
God, if I got a penny for every time someone was like, oh, you guys must be sick of each other since you worked together. Like, I want to, like, murder him by now. It's like, no, I'd be rich.
Yeah, like, it's an anomaly. No one believes it.
I mean, I'm astounded by it, but
it's hard for me to believe, too.
Yeah.
Like, I come from a family, like, I'm Puerto Rican. We communicate by yelling at each other. You know?
I mean, it's the same way for Vietnamese people. Yeah. Like, we're very loud.
It's true. Like, I remember being at your house the first time. I thought your parents were pissed off or something. You know? But it's like, oh, no, they're just talking.
Yeah. They're just like, having a normal conversation. That's just how
conversations go.
Yeah.
In that loud, stern voice. You know? There's, granted, Spanish can be a very romantic and loving language. The same cannot be said for Vietnamese.
Oh, no, it sounds horrible.
Vietnamese is up there with, like, German and Russian, honestly. It's like, when you hear it, it's like, you're going to kill someone, aren't you?
Yeah. it's not pretty. It's not soft at all.
Yeah.
It's only soft because the person has a soft voice, maybe, but it doesn't sound nice. I don't think so.
But even then. But yeah, like, we've come from families where it's just like my parents argue. My parents are about to split up. So it's like, mm-hmm. after, what, 40, 30, 40 years? I don't know. They've been together forever. But, like, you know, that's what I'm used to. I'm used to, all I knew was yelling and arguments as a kid. Yeah. That's all I ever saw from them. So for me, the typical couple did that.
Yeah.
Even, like, some of my best friends, like, their parents were already divorced when I met them, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, all I knew from being in a couple was, well, you're going to get into a fight, and then eventually you'll make up, or you'll forget about it. They forget about it. It's usually what happened in my family. And until something else happens, then you remember it again. Like, oh, that time! Mm-hmm. You know? And so I was always prepared for that. Of like, well, eventually I guess I'll have to have an argument.
Yeah.
But then, like, by the time I got to, like, before I met you, I was always, like, already in the mentality, I was like, you know what? Fuck that. That's like, if I feel an argument is going to happen and it can't be, extinguished uh-huh. and resolved, then this is not the person for me. Because to me, like, if you're in a relationship, it should be easy to the point where, like, we should be able to understand each other at all times.
Yeah.
And explain both of our sides and at least figure out what's wrong with each of us. And if you can't do that, that's not the person for you. You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like we've only had one moment for me where they're just like, all right, if this is going to be it, then fuck it. And I think we were at a beach, and we weren't even on an official date. We were just hanging out.
Oh, we God, were just, that thing. I was like, what story is this?
It's an important day to me. Yeah. Because that, for me, that really set up how every day was going to be after that.
Uh-huh.
You know? And to be honest, I can't remember exactly what it was you did now.
Me either.
It was just something to the point where, like, you were just being finicky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I was just being indecisive about
something. Yeah, yeah. And I was trying to help you. I think you were looking for flip-flops. We're at the beach. We're at Salisbury Beach or Hampton Beach. And you're looking for flip-flops. You're like, I really need flip-flops. And I'm like, all right, well, here's a store. Because there's always a store for flip-flops over there. We go inside. I must have pointed out every flip-flop that was in there. That was the reason, because we discovered early on in our relationship that we love shopping together, uh-huh, uh-huh. which was another anomaly. A guy and a girl who can shop together and neither one of them is gay. And it's like, how is that done?
Mm-hmm.
But we both love shopping together. It was the best thing ever. I would show you things. You'd show me things. Like, we knew each other's taste like that.
It's true.
So, like, I was showing you things like, this will go good with you. This is good. Like, I wasn't pointing at the beer flip-flops. Like, oh, look at the Budweiser flip-flops. You want those? Like, you know, I was showing you the cute ones that would match with your outfit. Like, I was looking at what you were wearing. It's like, well, this will go with what you're wearing now. And this, but this one will be good for, like, almost every article clothing you have. You're like, nah, I don't know. And you're just like, I was like, look, you said you needed flip-flops. We're in a place that has flip-flops. I've shown you every kind there is. I don't know how else to help you. And you're like, and you're just so, like, about it. I was like, fuck this. I was like, we're not even officially a relationship. Like, I'm trying to help you out like a boyfriend right now. I'm out of here. And then we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was it. It was done. Like, and you were like, you were sorry that you started doing the thing that I said I hate, was the typical girlfriend thing. I was like, I don't know. And then I apologized. Like, I'm sorry I was being too harsh of a dick. Like,
because
that was something I could be. I could be too blunt and too harsh with such situations.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I can't beat around the bush on this shit. I have to get straight to the situation, straight to the point, or we're done. You know? And at that point, that's it. We figured out who we were. We figured out how we had to communicate with one another. And it never happened again. That was the quote-unquote argument. That was the fight that we
had.
Which is just even though there was no yelling.
There was really
complete. It was all conversed in a peaceful way.
Yeah.
You know? I was aggravated.
Yeah.
But that was it. And I bet you were aggravated, like, what the fuck's up with this motherfucker?
Doesn't he understand that I don't know what I want?
But since then, like, it's never...
Yeah.
There's never been a thing.
Like, I'm trying to think of... There has to be some times where I get frustrated or aggravated with you. But I don't know. It's... Nothing really pops up. But
that's the thing. I think there's a difference from being aggravated
to, like...
And then having a fight.
Starting a war, yeah.
Because you can definitely get aggravated with someone.
But yeah, there's just not enough to, like, need to blow up like that.
Yeah.
We just talk about, like, hey, could you not do that?
That's the thing. It gets addressed.
Yeah.
You know? Most people don't address it. Or if they do address it, they do it in a bad way.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh my God, I fucking hate you. It's like, oh, this is why you suck at this. Like, something else is brought up.
Yeah.
As opposed to the situation.
They let it fester.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're just like, can you rinse your dishes? You know? Can you be cool about that? Just like, you know, put the toilet seat cover down, and that's to me, not to you. Because I don't put the toilet seat cover down ever.
I'm like the only guy
you
who
really
puts
are.
The seat all the way down.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, it's not, this is like to sidetrack. Mm-hmm. I put the toilet seat down, not because of my respect and care for women. It's because I grew up with cats. And habit. I never wanted my cats to drink out of the toilet. So I'd always have the toilet seat down. Which my mother was thankful for. You know? But like every other woman who's ever experienced me has now been blessed with that little caveat. You know, I'm like, oh my God, he's such a great guy. He puts the toilet seat down. George thinks about us. It's like, yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's totally about you.
Yeah.
Not the cat. Yeah, that's a stupid little funny thing.
Yeah.
Till this day, I still like, I think just the other day, I was like, can you put a toilet seat down?
You did. Because we have, especially now, because we have like this like cabinet thing, whatever, so it's right above the toilet, so there's always a fear and some almost where things fall in the toilet. So
yeah, and usually like, it'd be like my comb,
yeah,
or something. My comb, my scissors,
your deodorant.
Yeah, like, it's just like I don't want my things falling in the toilet. I think it's a reasonable scare or worry to have. It's like none of your shit's in jeopardy. It's in a drawer or whatever. All my stuff's exposed. So yeah, put a toilet seat down, Jen.
I'm trying to work on it.
You know what it is? It's because we're talking about the seat, and the seat that you sit on to go poo essentially is always down.
That is always down, yeah. You always,
but
you,
for me, you always I'm talking about the lid.
The lid,
I'm talking,
yeah.
Put the lid down. Which is the truest of all seats.
Right.
Because it covers all the tush. I'm pretty sure everyone else out there, it's like, well, as long as the seat's down, right? Like, that's what's most important.
But other cat owners are probably thinking, like, no, you put the lid down.
As real as we haven't been saying lid, we've been saying seat. And it's like, well, the seat's down.
There's a difference.
Because, like, why would she put the seat down? That's hurting herself.
It's like, how is she?
She's self-destructive. And they've never had an argument. Something's wrong here.
Right. She might be broken.
but yeah. No quarrels. And I really took notice of it the other day because I was bringing it up. It's like, it's something just hit me. I think it's because I probably was thinking about something else after talking to my mother on the phone. And I was just like, I've sworn, like, I've said the F word or like I've said, you know, fuck you or you're a bitch or you're a fucking asshole. Like, I've said that to so many people in my life. Like, I've told my own parents to fuck off. Mm-hmm. I've told my brother that, you know, he's a fucking dick. You know, it's like, I've called names to people that I love dearly to my heart, you know, and like me and my own friends have gotten into arguments and just like really gone at it. Well, I've never cussed at you.
Yeah.
I know. And it's like, when I really thought about it, I was like digging in my mind. Like, I was walking home from like the market and like it really like dawned on me. I was like, I was hunting for it. I was like, how have I never sworn at her?
Yeah.
At all. That's mind boggling. Like, I've cussed out strangers to like the most dearest person in my world, and yet I've never. Damn, she's special. like damn.
We've done it to each other, like in jest. Like,
yeah, I'm like, you bitch.
Like, shut up, George.
Yeah.
Like, fuck up. But never seriously.
Yeah,
I guess we're on our best behavior around each other.
Well, we cuss a lot, as proven now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just like, it's an odd thing to find someone where like, wow, they just don't bring that side out of me.
They just mesh together so well. Yeah. Like, whatever is going on with both of our personalities, like a well-oiled machine, like everything just works. Like at work, when we work together, like we work so well together. Yeah. I just said work like 5 times.
Work. Well, I think that's what you brought up earlier.
Yeah.
It's like people who ask us, like, how, you guys must always, you know,
like,
be at each other's throats But the funny thing is, like, we've worked at, 3 to 4 jobs together now?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, since 2007 to 2020, we've always worked together and lived together. Which is an immense amount of time to spend with one person.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the funny thing is, we actually didn't spend that much time together at our jobs.
No.
When we worked at the supermarket, we each had our own aisle that we ran. Yeah. So, we'd work in that aisle all day.
Yeah.
You know? So, you're not really seeing each other until, like, lunchtime or break time.
Right.
You know? Or if, for some reason, we'd help one another in each other's respective aisles. So, most of the day, we don't actually see each other until we get home.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, by the time we get home, we're actually very grateful to actually have contact with one another. We can actually converse about the day or whatever is on our minds. At the other job, which we were at a bakery together, that place is probably the tightest, or second tightest we ever worked together. But at the same time, I'm in the back in the bakery actually baking stuff, decorating cakes. You're in the front dealing with customers.
Yep.
So the only time we're actually talking to each other is because we're conveying orders.
Yeah.
Or things and trying to figure out pricing and decor and stuff like that. But and since it's just work-related conversations, there's no reason to get pissed off. Because at the end of the day, we both want to succeed in the same situation. We want to achieve the same goals. Mm-hmm. It's like, make sure that we make this the best as possible.
Right.
So there's no reason to argue.
Mm-hmm.
And with this last job we just had, working at Famous Monsters, like, the closest we've been is because we're in the same office.
Yeah.
But even then, in the office, we're never even looking at each other because our backs are to one another. So, you know.
Well, your back is to
my back
me.
Is always to you, yeah. So, like, you don't actually see, or I don't actually see you, you know.
I work in a very particular vacuum, just doing art all day. I barely leave my desk and can see over my monitors in general, so.
Yeah, it's like, the most we talk is because, again, it's like you're trying to get the job done. And work conversations are never the same as relationship conversations, you know. I think that the biggest thing that we always did, and it was never, we kind of spoke about it, but we also really didn't, was that we both despise PDA.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when we're in front of people, we never hug, we never kiss, you know, we barely even touch each other.
Yeah.
You know? To the point where people question, like, are you guys a couple? Are you mad at each other?
There's no, like, pet names, like, no honeys, no babies, no nothing. Like, we call each other by each other, our names.
Our given names, yeah.
Yeah, like,
we're professional.
Very, very professional. Yeah. And this is outside of work, like, out in public, too. Yeah. Like, we'll hold hands in public, like, just on our whatever, but, like, you don't really see us, like, kissing each other.
Yeah,
like,
I might kiss you on the forehead.
Yeah.
Because you're just in cute, it's like, I gotta kiss you right now.
Yeah,
but like, lip kissing, like, we've never made out together, like, we never made out outside. Never. It's always been indoors.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I've never done the typical, like, making out at the theater with you.
No.
You know? Why? Because we paid to watch that goddamn movie. Because...
Hell no. I'm paying attention.
A side note, something most people never understood when I was younger.
What?
When I was, like, a teenager in high school, and, like, there were rare occasions. I say rare because I was not the hunk I am today. You know? And I wasn't going out all the time with a lot of girls, but there was those rare times where I would go out with a girl, and we'd go to the theater. And I kind of get things like, why didn't you make out with her? It's like, because I paid to watch that movie, man. It's like, I've been wanting to see that movie. It's like, if I made out with her, then I wouldn't have seen it, and then I wouldn't have wasted money. If we wanted to make out, we could have just stayed home.
Yeah.
It's like, there's plenty of porches that we both have that we could just do that at.
You can literally do it anywhere.
Yeah. It's like, why would I do that theater? I never liked wasting money, because I've been earning my own money since before I was a teenager.
Yeah. You know?
So it was always important to me to value whatever I spent it on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other situation. All together.
To each their own.
Yeah. But yeah, but I think that's a big part of why we don't have arguments, is that at the end of the day, we always see what the goal is, whether it is within a relationship or at work, and we want to obtain that goal to its fullest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, arguing is so exhausting.
It is.
It takes so much energy to be mad at someone. I don't need that. I'm already stressed out at work. I don't need to be stressed out at home. It's like, we'll just chill.
So I would say about hate. People was like, oh man, I hate that. It's like, hate, that's a strong word. It takes a lot of work to hate something.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put energy into hating.
You have to try to hate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Because hate is just, it's the opposite of love. And if it takes a lot of work to love, it takes a lot of work to hate.
Truth.
And if I'm gonna work hard at something, I'd rather love. That's the only time I'm going to get preachy about something, is with that kind of stuff. Because I ain't got time to hate, man. Second half of the podcast, man, they're hating really hard on this new thing.
Speaking of things we hate.
I think, like, I've never been... Like, I shouldn't say I've never been. I'm going to take that back right now before I even get into what I'm about to say right now.
Okay.
Because I do give advice. Because I have friends and my brother and, you know, that they ask. You know, it's like, how do you make this work? It's like, you obviously are making it work. You're doing something right. If you never get into situations, you know, what do? How did you make it that you could have someone like Jen? How did you make it so bad things never happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the truth of the matter is, it's luck. It's always dumb luck, to be honest. I can't just rule that out because it's there. You know what I mean? Billions of people in the world, I lucked out in meeting you. I lucked out that we took a chance on each other.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's about being at the right place at the right time and taking a chance, you know, and waiting. Because if you look for it, it's not going to happen. If you watch water boil, good luck. You know, granted, water's going to boil eventually, but it's going to feel like an eternity. That's how it feels when you try to look for somebody.
Yeah.
You know? At the end of the day, it's like, I just waited. I lucked out. I got you. And the second thing is, I don't compromise.
Yeah.
You know?
Me either.
If you don't compromise yourself, like, your personal dignity and that person's dignity, then it's going to work out. You know? You just got to be honest with yourself and that person at all times.
I think for us, because we were so upfront about who we already were. and what we're about. Like, that's something that my mom had ingrained into my head, like,
just like my mom.
Yeah, like, like since moms. Since I was old enough for her to start suspecting that I would be getting intimate with people. So whatever age that was, I don't remember, but she was always just like, never compromise who you are. Like, don't, like, this is who you are, this is what you like, these are the things you like, don't change who you are for any other person. They don't deserve you if they can't accept you for who you are. And I've always taken that with me. And so when we got together, it just, everything just made sense. Like, I was upfront with everything to the beginning, like, just, this is how I am. Take it or leave it. So, and I think it's just, there was some fluidity there.
Yeah. I think what helped too is, again, it's all timing, you know, time and place. Mm. We were in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is definitely a state that's different from California, where we live now.
By far.
Like, California, it's a very liberal state. It's a PC culture. You're walking on eggshells most of the time, where whether you're in a working place or out in the public. You know, you can't truly have your fullest thoughts and personality out there because you might hurt someone's feelings or someone's agenda or whatever it is. We can't. This is early 2000s when we met each other. It wasn't as crazy as it is now towards what you can think and say.
Yeah.
You know? And that state is also, it's the home of Boston.
We're
and,
very you know, aggressive.
Yeah, we're called massholes for a reason.
Very you aggressive, know, we're blunt very people. Blunt. Yeah, very yeah. brash.
We're going to tell you how we feel immediately.
Yeah.
It's like, granted, I'm a Yankees fan, but if you're in Boston, and it's like, what, you're a Yankees fan? All right, we're going to beat your ass, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's going to happen. And that's how the mentality was for everything, you know? So we were just always, like, I was always myself at all times.
Yeah.
I wasn't afraid to be me
right.
at my job, outside of my job. I was always that crazy person that's going to tell you what his thoughts are.
Yeah.
You know? So you got to see that at all times.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you met me at home and you live with me. It's like, oh, this is a totally different George that no one else gets to see. This is special. It's like, no. Everyone sees this crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
Which I think helped for you to get, know, like, okay, I'm getting a real motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just some act, you know.
I'm not here to play no games.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, I think in person, like, when you meet me, you're like, oh, wow, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, like, who's
going to help you with whatever you need,
yeah.
you know.
You're very nice and very respectable, but at the same time, it's very clear that you don't put up with bullshit either.
Yeah, you want to keep respectable, nice guy. Respect me and you will get that
yeah.
all times,
yeah.
you know, and it's not like a demand of like, you know, be my bitch kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, be nice, you
it
know,
was the
be
same,
a cool
yeah.
person and I'm going to be a cool person too.
It's the same for me. Like I can be a horrible bitch when I want to be, like, if you put me in
that's what I've heard
that
at least.
Situation and you've witnessed it.
Yeah,
you've seen me
true.
Fight with people. You've seen me physically fight with people. And but you never call for it.
Yeah.
You've never given me a reason for that to come out.
It makes me think back. We worked at the supermarket.
Yeah.
And I think you had, like, broke off a piece of a pallet and you, like, ran after someone and hit... Or you may have actually hit them with it.
Probably.
I think it was, like, Armando or something. But it was one of them. And you were just, like, going after them. And eventually, it's like, man, I fucking feel bad for you, bro. It's like, you gotta deal with that when you get home? That sucks. And I was like, I don't have to deal with shit when I get home. See, that person made her mad. That person
yeah.
is suffering.
Yeah.
See, when she gets home, she's going to see me and be like, thank God you're not him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get all the good stuff because I'm not an asshole like that guy is.
Yeah, and I've always been the person that, like, I don't take my anger out on the wrong people.
Yeah.
Whoever pissed me off gets all of the ire. But, like, if I'm cool with you, I'm going to continue to be cool with you. Like, I try to, everywhere I go, like, if I'm in a bad place or whatever, like, I try not to reflect that on the people that don't deserve it, or yeah. just in general. Like, I don't want to be the person that brings the mood down in a room ever.
Yeah.
So, like, I deal with my personal bullshit with the people I need to deal with my personal bullshit with. Like, I know how to just check it at the door.
Yeah. Well, as I've gotten older, I've learned that it's harder for me to do it. But I just, like, catch myself now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sorry I'm being an asshole right now. I'm just really angry. Not at you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it helps me self-reflective.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been able to do for
Yeah.
Many, many a years.
Because I think between the both of us, we've also had, you know, in our, before we met each other, when we were younger, we had issues with anger.
Yeah.
And yeah. So we sorted all that shit out.
That's how we connected in the beginning.
Yeah, remember? True, because
we both had the same rage factor.
Yeah.
Which was like, I black out and I see red and I don't see anything else until I come back from it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was when I was like, oh my God, like, I never met anyone else who went through that. I thought only I did that.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I don't know how that person ended up in the hospital, but apparently I was the cause.
It's like my knuckles are all split open, apparently. But we sorted all that shit out before we met each other, so I think that definitely helped. Had we met each other sooner, I don't think we would be in the same place we are now. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Because I can definitely see that I was a different person pre-you.
I've been like this since I was a kid. Some may argue, my mom will always say, like, no, you matured a lot more. But at the same time, she'll be the same person who says, like, you were mature when you were 4 years old.
Yeah.
Having, like, cups of tea with her and having mature conversations about the world. Like, I knew about the birds and the bees when I was, like, 3-4 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I know how the world works now.
I am a cultured man. Yeah. I am a man full grown at 4.
Yeah. I didn't lead a sheltered life whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah, you're a... bringing you stuff definitely unique from anyone that I've ever met.
Or most people at all.
Mm-hmm.
We'll save that origin story, though, for another episode, because that's a lot.
It's a lot to unpackage.
The Book of George is a lot. But yeah, take some note, guys. You know, it sounds cliche, but fucking talk to each other.
Honestly. Like,
that's something I always bring up whenever, like, a conversation about with, like, a friend or whatever. It's like, I got into this argument and it fucking pissed me off. I was like, would you guys talk about it? Well, no, because, you know, we're pissed off. It's like, you're going to stay pissed off until you talk about it.
You're not solving anything. Yeah. Ugh.
Does that person know how you feel? They don't? Oh, well, they're never going to know unless you tell them. Yeah. It's the simplest solutions. Mm-hmm.
It's like, no one's a mind reader. Like, what
the fuck? Although, at the same time, we're kind of mind readers, aren't we?
Yeah. Honestly, like, we're such an anomaly. I don't...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the weird thing. Like, we're... I want to say about 80% of our personalities are aligned perfectly. And there's that 20% that's just a little off that keeps us always guessing. Because if you're exactly the same, then it's boring.
It's boring, yeah.
And it's what keeps just us enough, unique. There's just enough of like, oh, that's a new thing I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll try that next time.
Well, all right then.
But yeah, but that doesn't work for everybody. I know that. Sometimes the opposite thing is better for others.
Yeah.
But I will say, on personal experience, it really helps when the person's a lot like you, because then they'll know how you
it's true.
Mm-hmm. are going to operate already. They'll know what to say and what not to say ahead of time. But to that, let's head to our first segment, Jen, called What the Damn?
Oh my God.
So today you saw something within the social media ether of Z World.
Mm.
So, to date this episode right now, we are going through the coronavirus.
Bum, bum, bum.
The big scare that's sweeping the world. It's kind of hard to not talk about this, honestly. I didn't even want to talk about it that much because it's just like it's everywhere.
Honestly, it's the only thing people are talking about now.
It's kind of annoying and depressing.
Yeah, it is. It's annoying and depressing. It's hard to avoid since it's affecting literally everyone.
Yeah.
It's a global pandemic. So everywhere you turn, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
So this is the only time we're going to talk about it. Unless someone does something stupid, we want to talk about it in another episode. But... So I ran across this post on Tumblr, and I've seen it a lot in other areas of social media, like on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, but it's, you know, images of doctors and nurses at work doing their jobs, and they have like these little notes, and it says, I stayed at work for you, stay home for us, you know, just to keep your asses indoor, don't spread the thing. Like
Spreading awareness, pretty much.
Yeah. And the comments on this post that I saw, I shouldn't be surprised. It's Tumblr. Tumblr's a trash site in general, or all social media is anyway. But these comments, like the first one, propaganda. Okay. Another person, I hate fucking doctors and nurses so much. This next person, don't come to the hospital just because I'm lazy and want you guys to die.
Wow. Is what
somebody else says. And another one.
What the?
Yeah. This other guy. Time for doctors to legitimately earn a paycheck for the first time in their lives. This other person, the fuck they gonna work on if people stay at home? Time for everyone to go out and get sick. And it's like, okay. I don't even know how to, like, process this right now. Like,
there's a lot of things there.
How fucking ignorant and stupid can you be? Like, I am astounded. Like, legitimately earn a paycheck for the first time in their lives. Like, first, like, this is because they're doing work. Like, the 8 years or whatever of medical school wasn't work. The hundreds and thousands of dollars that they go into debt to stay in school to learn all of these things so they can treat your ass. If I could go see Bob next door for my fucking diabetes medicine, then, like, why haven't I been doing that? Like, like, what? I can't believe it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. It's like, what did you think doctors were doing beforehand?
Yeah.
Like, did you think that there was no other illnesses before the coronavirus? Mm-hmm. You know? It's like, I've been saying during this whole scare, it's like, we've lost, I think, 6,000 people, roughly. I don't know exact numbers. So I'm throwing ballpark numbers out there. Let's say we've lost 6,000 people around the world, or even just in the States. The flu took away, like, 30,000 plus last year. Do you think the doctors were not trying to take care of those flu victims? You know? Yeah. There's still loads of cancers. There's loads of freaking other diseases that we go through, venereal diseases that people have to deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, there's loads and tons of freaking medical scares that people have every day. If someone breaks an arm, what do you think happens? They go to the doctor.
Yeah.
People are breaking shit every day. I'm pretty sure someone's broken something right now as we do this podcast. All
right. Right.
Like, you think brain surgery just happens? Mm. Do you think, like, all of these things have to be taken care of every day before this virus happened? It's like, what audacity it is to say a line like that. They have to finally earn a paycheck. It's like, I'm pretty sure they earn that check every day.
Mm. You know? It's like, because I don't know how to fucking perform heart surgery. It's like, please, is that something I can Wikipedia and just, like, know? Like, is this right? The Matrix? Like,
it's like, oh, no, I can take care of this. I Googled it. Yeah. I know how to take care of an eye now.
Right, right. Exactly. Insane. And then there's, of course, the people that have sense are saying, like, what's wrong with you? Like, these people are quarantining themselves from their families because obviously, like, they're exposing themselves to hundreds of people every day that could potentially be carriers, and they don't want to bring it into their home, so they can't. They're just asking you to stay home for a fucking couple of weeks. Yeah. So that more people don't possibly die. Like, they don't risk the possibility of bringing it home to their families or to other people that they work with. Like, insane.
Yeah. And, like, I'd like to think, you know, as a part of any doctor's job, is to look for cures too. You know,
granted, there's
higher, you know, levels of medical where they're actually taking care of that kind of stuff. But I feel pretty confident also in the lower scale of things.
Yeah.
As they come into certain things, whatever research, like, whatever findings they have, they're passing that up the chain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It comes from everywhere.
Like, nurses work fucking hard. So hard every day. Because there's so much bullshit that they have to deal with. Seriously. Like, from your everyday normal things, like routine things, to the more complicated stuff, there's just so much work.
Yeah, no, when you brought that to me, it reminded me of something else I saw also, which also in social media, where some retail places, like supermarkets, are putting that kind of stuff out there of, like, be very mindful when you come to the supermarkets. Like, we have to stay open because we supply a service of food. You need food.
Yeah.
We have to give you that food, you know, or whatever healthcare products that you need from a supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
So we're coming in to work to make sure you have those things.
Mm-hmm.
Be mindful of us now and not come in with your full family with all your kids and all these things. Come one person at a time. Please keep your distance from one another. Be very mindful of one another so that we all get through this safely.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's the same thing. People are on there. It's like, all right, I guess I won't get groceries then. It's like, that's not what
they're saying. That's not what they're saying.
They're saying you don't have to bring your whole troop with you to get these groceries.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy. Like, I get it. If right now schools are shut down and you can't find a caretaker, and it's the same situation, like, why put your kid in a daycare where they could also be at risk?
Yeah.
I 100% understand that. And you can't find anyone. There's no one. And let's say if it's a single parent or whatever. Like,
there's exceptions.
Yeah, there's exceptions. Sure. But, like,
yeah. But if you're, like, a husband and a wife and you have three kids, why are you all coming to the supermarket?
Yeah.
One of you could have stayed behind.
You know? All of you could have stayed behind.
Yeah. One person, I mean, like, could have gone. You know what I mean? Like, one could stay behind and take care of the kids. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, there's someone there, you know? And I'll be honest, like, now that kind of hit upon a nerve that kind of bugs me about just general things about family stuff specifically.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, I think I was left, and granted, this may seem in a bad light nowadays, but me and my brother are 4 years apart. I want to say somewhere around third grade, when I was in third grade, me and my brother were left home alone.
Oh, yeah, same. Me and my sister were home alone a lot.
A lot.
Like, my sister and I are 6 years apart, and, like, I would be home alone all the time.
Yeah, as long as you're raising your kids good, they'll be okay for, like,
I'm not
so you can go
get groceries for a bit. Yeah, like, I'm not... I was never the kind of kid that was curious to open the door for every fucking reason or go outside.
Yeah.
I was very...
Cops knocked on our door and I didn't answer that door.
Yeah. I was very aware of stranger danger, right? I was always a fucking lazy kid, so I didn't want to fucking go anywhere ever anyway. But I was just like, I want to stay home. I want to play with my toys. I want to watch my cartoons. And I just want to chill. Like, that's the life I want. I don't want no bullshit coming from outdoors. Like... I would never open the door if anyone rang it. I'm like, whoever needs to get into this house has a key. They will get in.
Exactly.
If they need to get in.
Yeah.
There's
That's that latchkey kid lifestyle too. It's like, we had a TV. TV will take care of us. Yeah. It's like, my parents have no worries. Like, we're not there. They're going to play video games. They'll be okay.
I wasn't trying to go outside, you know, like, granted, I went outside. My dad would take naps and I would sneak outside into the backyard when he was napping. He was supposed to be watching.
But you had a fenced off backyard.
Yeah, it was fenced off and I would go in the back. I would never wander into the front yard and just like walk around because what the fuck is there to do in the front yard? Just grass. There wasn't even like a tree for shade. Like I'd be in the sun and I hate the fucking sun. So
fuck the sun.
Yeah. Giving me heat rash. But yeah, like I knew not to be a bad kid, basically.
Yeah. Like for me, it's like, if your kid's a baby, don't leave the kid at home.
Yeah. But if your kid is capable of, like, chilling for 45 minutes to an hour, like, doing whatever the fuck kids do these days.
Yeah. I mean, especially nowadays, aren't they glued to their cell phones anyway?
Yeah, just lock the fucking door and you're good. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing that's upsetting.
But we digress.
But, so you had that situation, and there was nothing that I saw besides the supermarket thing and the doctor thing that... It just made me feel like so... I was aggravated and disappointed of where we are these days in our social climate. Like, we're supposed to be in this era where, like, everyone's woke and everyone's, you know, trying to fight for social justice and peace and we're all together in this, right? I've never felt so apart from everyone and so not on the same page, you know? Because, like... I'm born in the 80s, as were you, you know, and like in the 80s were a time, I was born in 83, so I had just enough years where I can experience the 80s and remember it, you know, I remember living the 80s enough, where we had a time with like Band-Aid and Hands Across America, you know, and like Michael Jackson is trying to bring peace to the world, you know, and, and I don't care about the freaking allegation stuff, all right, I'm talking about the good times in the 80s, you know. Everyone was trying to do their part, celebrity to little person, like, and it really did feel like we were coming together for things, you know, and trying to make a difference. So if a celebrity did something positive, everyone reacted in a positive way. Today, it's not like that, unfortunately. Just recently, Gal Gadot went on her social with a bunch of other celebrities and tried to do something really positive for everyone and did a cover of John Lennon's Imagine. You know, which is a song of positivity. And, you know, trying to like things like, look at, you know, our differences, but look at everything that we have in common. You know, it's like trying to come together. And her whole message was like, you know, in this time when we all need to be apart, let's think of something that, you know, let's get our mind off of that and just think of each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like I saw what she was trying to do.
Yeah.
I didn't think of this as like, oh, I'm a celebrity. Look at me. You know, this is someone who's getting paid to be an entertainer. And she's not getting paid to do this thing. She's trying to, you know, get our minds off of this because that's what her job is, you know. And people are coming on Twitter and just bashing all of them of like, oh, well, it must be great for you. Like, you know, while I'm out of a job, you're still getting paid or stuff like that. It's like, well, you have all this money. You know, what? Maybe you should be donating that to the cause or whatever. And I was just like, wow, like you guys had to find something negative in this positive thing, huh?
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Like entitled much? Like what?
Yeah. Like the only solidarity is the fact that they're all being negative. They're all coming together to be assholes together. Yeah. All right. It's like, nah, but she wanted something good. All she wanted to try something good. You know?
She just wanted to sing a song for you.
Yeah.
Chill the fuck out, people. I get it. You're stressed. Like, a lot of us got laid off. A lot of us got fired or whatever. Some of us, you know, can't go into work because things are shut down.
Yeah, it's like right now, we don't have jobs. Yeah. Like, I'm not seeing it as like, oh, man, well, I don't have a job. Like, she's a bitch for, you know, having money. It's like, guess what? She's an actress. No one's going to the theaters right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? People who are movie stars are, like, granted, yes, they get paid to do their jobs before the movie hits theaters.
Yeah.
You know? But the movie suffers if no one's, if it doesn't get to be released in the theater, mm-hmm. if no one's going to the theater to watch it because they're being quarantined, you know, I'm pretty sure theaters are shut down because of the fact that they don't provide a service that's due to your health.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of things have been postponed because of this scare, yeah. you know, so they're hurting kind of as much as us. And this was an outlet for them to be like, hey, you know what? We're entertainers. We got to entertain the people somehow.
Yeah.
Let's do this, you know. And who's to say they're not giving in other ways? We don't know. We're not up their asses all the time. You know what I mean? A lot of these celebrities are also donating and giving to things all the time that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
You know? So it's very unfair to just be like, oh, why don't you just give money to this? Is there even a thing to do that to? I don't know if there is. Is there an organization where like, yeah, please give all your money to the coronavirus fund? You know right. what I mean? It's like, it's such a new thing. It's just happened. You want magic out of thin air? It's like the AIDS foundations that we have today didn't just pop up. It took years before an AIDS foundation was established. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like...
It's like these things all take time.
They were just trying to make light of a situation and... Because everything is just something negative, like, oh, this many people are have died or have, you know, come in contact or are now in quarantine or have contracted the virus or blah, blah, blah. It's all just news, sad facts or people fighting.
Half learning facts,
right.
honestly, at this point.
Exactly. Just, like, crap. And this is just, like, one little, like, nice, entertaining thing. Just lighten up, people. Yeah. What the fuck?
It's, like, it boggles my mind for like a culture supposed to be like we're all on each other's side. It's like, are we? It doesn't feel like it, you know?
Nah, horrible.
So yeah, and that was our what the damn moment or moments, I guess.
Moments, yeah.
Fucking world.
Related topics.
But now we have another special topic or segment, which is called Story Time. You had a story for us today.
So, George, remember that time? Remember that time that some New Year's of 2000s when everyone and their mother was having a great Gatsby party and you threw up all over the place?
Man, you're just going right straight into it. You didn't even set up a backdrop for this shit.
Well, like I said, I get straight to the point, all right?
That's a good point.
I lay my cards out on the table. This is what the story is about. It's about George throwing up.
Yes, many years later, I do remember it now. In the beginning, I didn't remember it.
Of course
not. Like, if it was in that first year, I didn't know.
Blitz out of your mind.
Yeah.
All right, so we were invited to a New Year's Eve party. Some friends of us, when we were living in Los Angeles. And it was a great Gatsby-themed party, like I had said before. And very important fact about George is that, you know, he's very fashionable. And he loves suits. He loves dressing it up into his suits and, you know, looking very tailored and posh. And this is a new suit too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had
bought it for the party.
Right? Yeah. Yes, bought it for the party. And
I bought a whole 3-piece suit just for a one night New Year's party.
Yeah, that's the kind of people we are. Impulsive when we have money, the American way.
Yep.
And so anyways, it was just like, you know, your normal New Year's party with a bunch of people just having a good time, drinking, talking about nonsense or whatever. And George had a little bit too much. What took you out? That was like some scotch, right?
I was with one of my best friends. So I was with Jose.
Yeah.
That's why we were there, because it was friends of his from college.
Yes.
And I knew her too.
Yeah.
But
we had been drinking before the party too.
We always pregame before the party.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When me and Jose together,
yeah,
we drink hard.
And Jose, just so you guys know, like, he was the president of his fraternity, right?
At one point, yeah.
So
he's a frat boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is your hype man, alcohol person.
Yeah.
And he's very good at getting you to drink, whether you want to or not. Yeah. Peer pressure, he's very good at.
It was like, when me and him are together, like, you know, first of all, you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, it's
guaranteed.
True.
If we're like,
for sure,
if we're paired up together and it's a drinking situation, you're gonna have such an awesome time. And like, there's an energy you feel once me and him are in the room.
Yeah,
and it's a
good
party.
Time. It's definitely a good time.
So with that, like, there's, it almost got to a point where there's a persona that comes along with it. It's like, oh well, we're, since it's a party and we're together, there's a certain thing. There's certain things we have to do. You know, drinking and having fun is one of those things.
Yeah,
and it's certain things that are expected. But yeah, we did drink a lot beforehand. Yeah, and the thing that we had was McLaren's.
Didn't we? Did I imagine? Did we have absinthe that night too?
I don't know. I don't remember the night 100%. I don't. I just know. I remember aspects of it.
I feel like we.
It may have happened.
I feel like we had a little bit of absinthe that night, and then what did you in or was the last thing you drank? Rather, yeah. Was the
what did me in was all the alcohol.
Yeah, it was very very rich McLaren. It was an old one. Like it wasn't like a.
It was a good.
It was smooth. Like,
yeah.
It was in like a fancy decanter. Yep. Too.
It was, I want to say it was the first time he was, cause the people who were hosting the party, the husband, this was like the first time he was kind of like sharing it. Like he's, cause mm-hmm. this is McLaren's is expensive.
Yeah.
And he had the good shit and he was letting us have some.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt first like, this was like probably the second time I think we were hanging out with them and everything as mm-hmm. like, as a couple and everything, like them being a couple.
Right.
You know, so he was still very new to us.
Right.
I knew Ashley already a bit, but I didn't know him so much. So to just let a stranger have their best, like, that's an honor.
Yeah.
Not everyone at that party got to have some of that.
It's true. It was right? Only like three people.
I was a part of a handful of people. Mm. You know, Jose was one of them, obviously.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, it's like, I am so cool right now because he's letting me have some and not the person behind me who he obviously knows.
Yeah. You were so cool that you blew chunks in front of the only exit and entrance to that apartment.
Yeah.
Like, he... Because... I'd only seen George, George doesn't throw up. That was actually the only time I've ever seen him throw up from drinking. And, but I know there's telltale signs of when he's had too much. He starts to sway in like a kind of like a circular motion with his body a little bit. And there's like this weird slow dances. He kind of rubs his belly a little bit. Very, very cute stuff. And, you know, the slurring a little bit and the stumbling. His eyes get very sleepy. I'm like, all right, maybe you should cut down. And I was like, do you want to go back? Like, cause they live, I don't know, like a couple blocks away. So it was just within walking distance.
From Jose's place.
Yeah, from Jose's place. Because that's where we were staying that night. We weren't going to drive anywhere, naturally. We had no plans. We were going to crash at Jose's. And so we're like, you know, let's get out of here. Let's, you know, let's walk back. Or whatever. Let's get some air. We can walk back. It's fine. And so we're getting ready to do that. I think you went to the bathroom. Nothing happened in there, apparently, because you came out and that's where you decided to throw up, right when we were at the door. Your arms were planted against the fucking door, all right, blocking anyone from entering and exiting, and you just head down, just blew everything out. And just projectile vomited straight into the ground. And we're like, okay, that's happening. And so eventually you stopped and I'm apologizing to our hosts and everything. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, I gotta get him out of here. Like, you know, like, if there's anything I need to get, like, a cleaning bill, just let me know. I'll, like, you have my number. Like, we'll take care of it or whatever. And so George is pretty much 6 feet. I'm 5'2", just so you know the height difference between us. So
this
I'm...
This poor lady who had to carry me.
Yeah, so Jose was also drunk, but he was coherent enough to help me. So, but we're both trying to, like, get you to not walk into your own vomit and, you know, over the pile of puke to leave the fucking door that you blocked with it. And we're tiptoeing around that, trying to, that was a nightmare. And then get you down the elevator and then walk. There's some hills and just trying to get you there. But the entire time, you were just like, you were very apologetic. You're like, I'm so sorry. I'm the worst. Like, I threw up everywhere. But the thing that you cared the most about, you kept asking, you were just like, did I throw up on my suit? I hope I didn't throw up on my suit. And I was like, and the first time you had asked, I said, no, you didn't throw up on your suit, which was a lie because you did. You totally got it on your pant legs and your shoes, which were also new shoes. But I wasn't going to explain that to a drunk person. And so, and you're like, oh, okay, great. Thank God. Because there's always that breathing, the drunk
breathing. The rest of the night's good now.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm so glad. And 5 minutes later, I throw up on my suit. And at this point, I was like,
fuck it.
Fuck it. I was like, yeah, you did. You got a little bit on your shoes. I didn't talk about the pants because I had a feeling you were going to ask me again. So I could just say something different every time. And that's what happened. So during this, I don't know, what would have been like a, I don't know, 10-minute walk turned into like a 20-30 minute walk trying to guide you through the streets of Hollywood at night. But when I told you that, and the third time you asked and I said you got some on your pants and you're like, oh man. You were so sad because I think we were closer to the part you just stopped. I think you were like leaning against a pole and you were just like shoulders slumped. You were just so disappointed. You're like, aww, not my suit. It's new. It was the most adorable thing with your vomit breath.
I'm glad you could think it's adorable now because I'm pretty sure you didn't back then.
I laughed. I was laughing. Me and Jose were laughing. We were struggling naturally with, you know, carrying dead weight, basically. But, you know, definitely reflecting, it's even funnier now. And so I don't know how many times you asked me if you threw up on your suit, but it was a lot. Because up until, like, we got into Jose's apartment, I'm taking off your shoes, your jacket, or whatever, getting you out of your vomit clothes, which you didn't really let me because I tried to take you out of your shirt and you're just like, you belly flopped onto the bed. So I was like, I can't even reach around to your front to unbutton your pants, to take off your pants. So I was just like, just stay in your vomit pants, man, I guess. I'm tired. I give up.
Which, in retrospect, that's funny because I don't remember all the stuff you're talking about right now. I remember puking. I don't remember the walk whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
I vaguely remember the going to bed part.
Mm-hmm.
That bed was Yasser's bed.
Yeah.
So we're in another best friend of mine's bed.
Jose's roommate.
Who was, I think he went back to Florida.
Yeah.
For that time.
Yeah.
So.
No idea.
Yeah. Puke pants in someone else's bed.
In his nice
just realizing
room.
That now.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. Sorry, Yasser. He's probably like, why does it smell like ass in here?
It's funny that we never told him. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's all you cared about. It was great. It was a good time.
Yeah. I would say there are positive points to this story that we're not mentioning, though.
Okay.
I believe we did make it to the countdown.
Yeah.
So.
You died after.
Yeah. So I got to experience most of the party.
Yeah. You did.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, here's the crazy thing. Like, I was pretty obliterated by the time we got to the McLaren's. I do know that. But I want to give merit to how good McLaren's is, all right? I remember how smooth and how great it tasted.
Yeah.
Till this day. All right. That's impressive. Like, I don't remember how the beer tasted I had that night. I don't remember the Jaeger shots that I had that night. But I remember McLaren's. Like, it cut through everything. And I was like, oh my God.
You had them one moment of sobriety just so you could taste it.
Yeah. Like,
I remember.
Like, and we drank it the way you should drink it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, we wafted in the aroma of it before. You know, like, it was like drinking a fine wine.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? We went through the steps. And, like, you know, we let it swash through our mouths for a bit and just let, you know, savor the moment. And I was like, oh my God. And I was, like, I'm not a big, like, whiskey person. Like, whiskey, scotch, and bourbon are not generally my things.
Yeah.
But oh my God. Like, it was the one moment where I was like, fuck rum. Fuck rum in the ass. This is the only thing I should be drinking for the rest of my life. Bam. That was some good shit. So good. Thank you, Andy. I always remember you.
Andy doesn't remember you. He just remembers you as the guy that blew chunks in front of the doorway.
I did feel like an ass. Like, once the next
day. Oh, you apologized a lot that day.
I apologized every time I saw them.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I think it was like a year later and we were hanging out soon and I was like, I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry. Because we would still drink with them later on. Like, they had other things. Like, they had like a
Beer Olympics
thing.
Yeah.
And I was just so mindful. I was like, before we went, I had a lot to eat beforehand just to make sure I had food in my stomach to absorb, you know, a lot of like bread stuff. And I was just like, I was in the zone that day. And I was like, I'm so sorry, guys. I'm never going to do that again. I swear to God. I was like, focus. So I drank a lot that night, too.
Yeah.
Because I remember just, this is not a night where I threw up or anything.
No.
But I remember that was like a Beer Olympics thing. They had a bunch of like beer pong and flip cup and all those kind of games that you play when you drink.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed up late.
We did. We showed up
which
late.
Which made me sad.
Well, because we were working.
And yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We had to like race across town to get there.
But we got there and we lost. But my score was really high for someone who lost.
It's true. So you made up for like,
yeah.
That you missed.
And it was just like, man, if we got here on time, I probably could have won, you know? Or at least I would have been like, like tied with Jose.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Me and Jose are very competitive, and we're in those days great at drinking, great at drinking games.
Yeah. They were so good at drinking games that they weren't allowed to be on the same team.
It was unfair.
It was unfair if you guys were. Because no one would get to win ever.
Yeah. It was a rare thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think this, I know we were going to have just your story, but I think this is a good thing to segue into like a side story of because you were talking about that, like just to give an example of how unfair things were.
Yeah.
Me and him went to a party once. I don't remember where it was or whatever, but we were playing beer pong and the people didn't know what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And me and him got so good as a team that we started challenging each other with different things that we should and could do.
Okay.
To try to make, because it wasn't hard anymore. It was, you know, it's like, well, this has to be fun for us.
Yeah.
You know, beating them is fun, yes. But we needed an extra level to how much fun this could be.
Right.
So we're playing beer pong. We were undefeated against so many different people.
So whatever. You guys are sober as hell.
No, that's the thing. That's the funny thing. We still drank.
Yeah, because you were drinking for the fuck of it, as opposed to, like, anyone sinking your cups.
Like the opposing team would always drink our cups.
Right.
But out of courtesy, like, it was just like, we felt bad. It's like, you sunk our cup, I'm going to drink for my beer, all right? But you'll drink my cup, because that's,
you're pity drinking.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, because I'm at a party, I want to drink too.
So, for those who don't know how beer pong works, there's obviously different sets of rules, but there are certain rules that most people know about.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, ball goes into a cup, you drink that cup. You know, like, if I sink a ball in your cup, you have to drink it. You know, if each person on our team gets a ball in a cup, we get the balls back and get to go again. There's the rule where if you get both balls in the same cup, that's it. End game. And that could be a situation where, like, even if the cup exits the table and it's in the person's hand, they're about to drink it, if that second ball still gets in that same cup, boom, you got it. That was a part of one of the challenges that we would have for each other. Because, like, some places kind of do it. Once the cup comes up, all right, you're going to drink your thing. I'm not going to throw it in that cup anymore. But if you had that rule established, it was like, it doesn't matter. Before, if that cup is not drank yet, it's still in play.
Mm.
So we would try to aim for that and we would get it. And it's like, all right, that challenge is now knocked out. We did, you know, we accomplished
how annoying
it.
That shit was too. Like, I remember being on the opposite end of that and like, okay, you got the ball in my cup. And then I'm pulling the cup to drink it. And then the other person would throw the ball into the cup that was still in my hand. And I was so mad. And I'm still mad thinking about it because it was so ridiculous. Like, it was in motion. Like, how fucking laser sharp is your aim? Fuck you. See, now I just swear you for real. We just hit a milestone, guys.
It could have been, you could be swearing at Jose too, though. I'm not gonna take that as 100% towards me.
Whoever it was that threw it, I don't remember who it was, but fuck you.
Here's the thing, Jose was a great pinch hitter. Like,
that's true.
A lot of times I go first and he'd follow up. We would switch it up, but that was the golden,
that's how
thing that we would do it.
I played with Jose a lot too, as my partner. That's how we played as well.
Yeah, because without the pressure, that's what it is. You know, so that was like beginning challenge. Follow-up challenges were like, all right, I'm not going to look anymore. And it's just like, I'm going to turn my head and wherever the ball goes, it'll hopefully go into a cup. And there wasn't much hoping. We knew it was going to go. It was going to go into a cup.
That was, yeah, I've witnessed that too. And that was also angering.
Because before, like, the challenge is like playing pool, you call your cup. You know? But that was kind of a part of the game too. Like, you'd call your cup, and if you didn't get your cup, then you didn't make that shot.
Right.
You know? But to call it and then not look.
You guys were bouncing it off of walls and shit.
That was the next thing. Like, bouncing off a table is a given. You know, that's a part of the game. You bounce it, you get two cups. But it's like, well, that's boring. What else can I bounce it off of? There's a ceiling. There's a wall. How about two walls? You know? I'm going to bounce it off your head. You know? It became like that level. It was at a place where it's like, man, I'm tired. I'm going to sit down in the kitchen. The table's in the living room. And I'm going to throw it from the kitchen and get my cup.
So rude.
That party, we were thinking of things that we never thought of before. We're like, it was like, all right, I'm going to throw it under my leg, do a spin, catch it with my other hand, toss it with my left hand because I'm right-handed. So left hand is now the new hand I'm using for this moment. And then I'm going to close my eyes and throw it. You know, it's like, it was just obnoxious, stupid things. And we still flawless victories.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
And this is why they weren't allowed to be on the same
team. Yeah, it got to a point where people started realizing, like, all right. I think that may have been the last day.
Yeah, because I wasn't there for whatever that party was. I just knew because you told me about this story. So I was like, no. If you guys want to team up together, I'm not playing.
Which is kind of unfair. Like, we like playing together. That's not, you know.
Well, you guys can play together on the opposite teams.
That's not the same. It ruins the magic.
Well, you can't always get what you want. Because
here's the other thing. It's like, we're also so competitive to have two competitive people go against each other. Like, me and him had nights where we would go against one another, and it would just be endless nights.
It really would, because, like, you endless guys would go into, nights. Like, so many overtimes.
Yeah.
It's like, we just want it to end.
That's how we felt. We just wanted it to end with total domination. Yeah, good times, man.
Very good times.
Drinking was fun.
Yeah. Oh, to be in your 20s again.
But yeah, I think that concludes episode one of the Beaver Rodeo. One day we'll have to tell people what Beaver Rodeo derived from.
Oh, we can tell them now. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's about masturbation.
Okay, I didn't even know that.
I thought I told you.
Maybe I did know and I forgot. I don't know.
Basically, it was a conversation that I had with my friends where there's this band, this Japanese band called Grand Rodeo, and she's very obsessed with it, loves the lead singer, pretty much nuts to him every night. And so we just calling her out on blast right now. And
you use a name, so she's yeah, safe.
She knows who she is, though. If she ever listens to this. And so after that, my other friend Danny was like having a beaver rodeo right now, and we just started laughing at that. It's like, that's got to be the new term for masturbation, and then that's how it stayed. Beaver rodeo is totally about slapping it.
Yep,
you heard it first.
Well, till next time, keep those beavers slapping. As always, you can follow us on our socials. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Nikolopolis. That's Nekolopolis.
And you can also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at Lazarus Trash Pit. Thanks for listening, y'all.
What are you doing? Looking for beavers.
Real beavers.
All right.
Oh, I feel like a power in it.
Hey, you see that?
My dick's asleep.